Well, whether you know it or not, this is the Real BS Show.
That's right.
We're going to pick up where we left off last week.
Yeah.
Because last week I wanted to join Scientology. Remember that?
Yeah.
I changed my mind. I'm not going to do that. I want to join something else.
Right.
And I just don't know what. Now, I see a lot of Jehovah's Witness churches all over the place.
Right.
Is that a good thing?
I don't know. Well, I don't think they're everywhere, but they're
I know
around.
Some Jehovah's Witness people, but they kind of keep it quiet. They don't.
Yeah.
They don't want to talk about it.
No, because they think.
I don't know. That's a bad sign right there.
I think it's a kind of a telling sign when you look at a building and it looks like a Verizon distribution center where there's no.
No windows.
That's a kind of a telling sign.
So you can't see in?
Or see out.
Oh, yeah. That's see out. That's like the Sea Org?
Yeah. There's some relations there.
You know, there could be.
I have to make a preface that anything that we say is not a criticism directly at any of these organizations.
No, it's just investigative. Yeah.
Observations, that's all.
Well, maybe, if I learn about the Jehovah's Witness, maybe that's one I want to join.
I don't know about that, Bill.
I don't either.
I think one of the key things to take away is this organization started late in the 19th century, 1870-something, 1880s. And they kept on making these prophecies of the end times when they were going to come.
There's a bad sign right there.
And they ended up finding out that these prophecies never came true. So they have a failure rate.
So they fire the leader and get a new one or what?
No, he just died, you know.
Oh. his end time showed up.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true there.
Yeah.
One of the things that also that I noticed is that they don't believe that, because most Christians believe Jesus is God, okay? They believe Jesus came down and God came down as Jesus and whatnot. This here, they believe he's the archangel Michael and a few other angels that we won't worry about. But regardless, they believe he's just an angel in the body. And then they believe that...
You saying Jehovah's Witness?
Yeah, the Jehovah's Witnesses. And they believe that only 144,000 will go to heaven, and the rest will rise up and clean up after Armageddon. So they have a little bit different beliefs. But my key thing is, I think...
Kind of like cleaning up at Woodstock?
Yeah, kind of.
Because there was a big mess there after it was over.
Well, I think it'd be a little bit more less drugged out and more... They don't do any tobacco or anything even. They do a little bit of alcohol, but not too much.
Oh, you can't smoke cigars?
Nope.
Oh, forget it.
That's why I said, I think you wouldn't be able to fit in with that, you know?
Yeah. Oh, man.
So that one thing that I noticed is that some of the things that we got, some of the sources that we pulled up together for this episode is that doesn't go into it, but they keep very strict records of all members. And they're very constantly testing the quote-unquote merit.
That sounds like Scientology.
Yeah. So
what the heck?
It's kind of like the NSA. It's in a ways you can't leave without being shunned or excommunicated by the church. So you won't be able to talk to your members. So it's kind of like the Amish in a lot of ways.
You can't talk to your family? Or?
Yeah, if you leave, yeah.
Huh.
So,
well, there's screw that one.
And so that's something I think is very important, is the keeping records on people.
Why they do that?
To use it against people. So they keep evidence on people, for instance.
Wow.
And in a lot of ways, I think that's where I find the biggest issue is that they are basically coercing and blackmailing people.
They're spying on everybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's stupid. Is that part of the church doctrine or something?
Yeah. They have they have a central group that's called the Watchtower, and they distribute the doctrine. And you can't question that doctrine.
That's that magazine they make.
Yeah. And that's their central authority. And so they make the doctrinal rules, in which the sources we got go into that, you know. So I think that's the key here, is recognizing they have a central authority that's very super strict, and then they keep records on people. And also they're trying to get new members all the time. And they were founded in Pittsburgh. It's only 2 hours south of us.
Oh, wow. There you go.
Yeah.
Is that where their headquarters is? No, I don't think so. They're in New York City, their headquarters. Yeah,
they moved.
What's the name of that? I remember something.
Well, it's called the Watchtower. That's one part. Yeah. But
they
I
got an amusement park there?
No.
No? No. Oh, shoot.
No.
No fun at all.
Not really, no fun at all.
Jeez, oh no, man.
You know, alcohol's a little bit allowed, but not much. No drugs, no tattoos. Women dress conservatively, you know.
Hmm.
No premarital sex, you know, typical stuff, you know. No fun.
It sounds like the Amish kind of.
Yeah.
Almost.
Yeah.
Offshoot.
But they have a lot of, like, prophecies that never came true. And, you know, they have a lot of sexual abuse that's not being.
So what happens when they prophesize something and it doesn't happen? Then what do? Reset and start over?
Yeah, it did happen. He actually didn't come in his non-physical form, is what they'll say, you know?
So Christ is running around the countryside, but invisible. Nobody knows who he is.
Yeah, invisible.
Invisible, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's the way it is now.
Yeah.
For everybody else.
Yeah, so.
All churches believe that.
Yeah, well, yeah, but, you know, they excused away. But I think the key to that is even them making the prophecies is not biblical. If they're going off the Bible, we go off that first. They're going off the Bible.
Revelations?
Yeah, Revelations and other books that says no man knows the day or hour, you know? And so they're already making claims against what the Bible says. And so when you hear, let's quote-unquote, false prophets is what the Bible says, watch out for false prophets, they'll do X, Y, Z. And they're doing the things that the Bible says that are false prophets. The other thing is that it's in their very name. The actual name of God in Hebrew is Yahweh.
Yeah, I've heard that, yeah.
Okay, so Yahweh is the Hebrew word, and the Latin word is Jehovah. And so Jehovah's Witnesses hate the Roman Catholics. Maybe I'm being a little too strong on the word hate, but...
Just don't like them much.
Yeah, they actually very... They think they're...
There's something wrong with that letter J, because someplace there was no J.
That's the Hebrew. Yeah.
Hebrew, there's no J.
It's a Y. It's Yahweh.
Yeah.
So
that's... Yeah, I remember that.
So a good example is Jacob is what we say in English. It'd be Jacob in Hebrew. That was my grandfather's name, was Jacob. And the reality is...
So you don't see no disciples by the name of Joe?
No, it'd be Johann. That's a German version. Joshua is Joshua. You know, but the reality is they claim to hate, dislike the Roman Catholics and consider them the Antichrist, yet they take on the Latin name of Yahweh, which is Jehovah. That's kind of an odd thing, isn't it? And they only call God Jehovah. That's it.
Well, that old guy that started this whole thing, Russell, I think his name was.
Yeah.
I mean, he looked awful to me. So he skipped right over that and just stuck a J in there.
Yeah. Yeah, but why is he taking on the what the Roman Catholics say? That's kind of a funny thing.
They don't like them, and they do what they.
It's just kind of a weird thing, but I don't know. You want to go into one of the sources that we pulled?
Yeah. I need to hear the do's, the good and the bad.
Yeah,
if there's any good.
Yeah,
there must be some good because there's churches everywhere. I mean, they build them things in a week.
Yeah.
You know, they all get together and start slapping bricks together. Boom! And next thing you know, there's a church. I seen that happen a couple times.
Mm.
So wow, these people are fast. There's one there in Mill Creek on
East Grandview.
No, it's right on west. Was it the road that goes down the peninsula? 832
Peninsula
or
Drive. Yeah.
If you go up through there, once you get past 38th Street, Steritania. Yeah. Once you get past 38th Street, boom. There's one right. I remember watching them build that.
Yeah.
And that baby went up quick.
No windows, though, right?
It's kinda, I don't know. I can't remember.
Yeah, it's probably easier to build something without windows.
I never realized that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, if you got something that'll explain a little bit, you know, the do's and don'ts here, I'd be interested.
Sounds good.
Jehovah's Witnesses are a group claiming the Bible as the basis for their teachings. Their origins can be traced to 1879, when their founder Charles Taze Russell began publishing the Watchtower magazine. Russell predicted that Armageddon would come by 1914 at the latest, and expressed this conviction in his book The Time is at Hand, published in 1889.
The Battle of the Great Day of God Almighty which will end in AD 1914 with the complete overthrow of Earth's present rulership, is already commenced.
Despite the failure of Russell's prediction, the movement he spawned has continued to grow. After all, 1914 happened to coincide with the outbreak of World War I, so successive leaders were able to pin their theology on 1914 as a date of significance. In the century since Russell's death in 1916, more predictions for the end of the world as we know it have been offered, with the dates 1925 and 1975 most notable for their failure to yield the promised apocalypse. When I was growing up as a witness in the 80s, the teaching was that Armageddon would come before the generation of people who witnessed the events of 1914 died off. That teaching has since been scrapped, and the current teaching is rather complicated and frankly makes very little sense. But suffice to say, Jehovah's Witnesses believe the end will come imminently. They also believe that when Armageddon strikes, every man, woman, and child who is not a Jehovah's Witness will be worthy of death. To stress this point, governing body member Anthony Morris recently told witnesses in Trinidad that they are blood guilty and deserving of annihilation if they don't sufficiently share in the life-saving preaching work.
If your hands are not clean because you've been out warning, then they have blood on them, and you're going to lose your life.
Death threats, fear-mongering, and failed predictions aside, the most disturbing elements of the Jehovah's Witness religion involve the organization's abusive policies and disregard for human rights. According to the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, everyone has the right to leave their religion if they so choose. But when you are baptized as a Jehovah's Witness, you pledge yourself to the organization for life. If you ever decide to leave, your close friends and family are ordered to shun you and treat you as though you don't exist. The religion also has a growing reputation for covering up child abuse on an astonishing scale. In 2015, when a royal commission in Australia ordered the local branch to turn over its records, it found that 1,006 JW child molesters in that country alone had had their crimes carefully documented since 1950, with not a single one being reported to authorities. Multiple lawsuits in other countries indicate that something called the Two Witness Rule, combined with the witness culture of secrecy, trusting congregation elders, and onus on forgiveness of sin, have created an environment in which children are at risk from predators who can operate almost with impunity. Jehovah's Witnesses are also known for teaching that the Bible prohibits blood transfusions. The Bible is actually silent about the medical use of blood because people only started transfusing it in the 19th century. But that hasn't stopped witness leaders from teaching their followers since 1945 that death is preferable to receiving a blood transfusion. Witnesses who are hospitalized in a critical condition can even expect to have a team of elders visit them at their bedside to remind them of the need to stay loyal to this teaching. All things considered, you may be wondering why anyone would willingly become a Jehovah's Witness. You might even think you'd have to be stupid to get involved with the group. But it really isn't that simple. Many witnesses are indoctrinated from when they are small children, and those who join as adults often do so because they are emotionally vulnerable and need the sense of community and absolute certainty that witness beliefs offer. Bottom line, if you happen to know a Jehovah's Witness, please be kind to them and don't assume you can snap them out of their beliefs easily. Witnesses tend to be extremely emotionally invested in what they believe, and easing them toward the exit requires an abundance of kindness, patience, and understanding.
Yeah, real BS. I think we're getting deep here.
Yeah, yeah.
This one got an uncomfortable feeling right off the bat.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe they warrant a little more investigation, but it's starting off rough.
I'm seeing a pattern, and I don't want to use a certain word yet, but you see it in different groups that believe that there's an end and it's on this date, or something horrible is going to happen, so we have to do X, Y, Z and force people to do this. I'm seeing a pattern with this and these groups we talk about, Bill, you know? I don't know.
Well, do the Mormons think that way too?
Yeah, they have similar. They don't have probably say end time prophecies.
Because they're really big. They got a lot of big buildings out there.
But what they kind of believe is kind of like how the Scientologists believe is that you become your own God. So the Mormons are that way. They believe you become your own God of your own earth, let's say. There's different earths out there, they believe. And so you become your own God after you die.
Well, the older I get, the less I feel like I'm in charge of anything.
But would you really want to wear your own special underwear, Bill? You know, you have to wear
special underwear. Oh, the Mormons got special underwear?
Yeah, they do, yeah. You have to Google that or DuckDuckGo it, you know.
What's that do? It protects them from something?
I guess, yeah.
Wow.
We'll have to do a show on that one. But
We'll investigate them next week.
Yeah.
That sounds exciting.
Yeah, they have some weird things. I'll give you something, you know. There's some very... They're all good, but not all of them, but a good chunk of them are very good looking, you know?
What, Mormons?
Yeah, well, they take care of their health, let's say. They believe their body's their temple, and they really take that serious. So I'll give them as a positive there, but you can't have caffeine, so your Coca-Cola would be out.
Uh-oh.
I'm prephasing it. These rules, you're going to be like, Bill's like, oh, there
what
goes,
the
can't
heck?
Have my Coke, can't have my cigarettes, cigars.
Man. Cigars, I don't want no cigarettes.
Yeah, your cigars. It's just, you know, but back to the Jehovah's Witness, it's like there's alternative motives, what they believe in. And I think that's a key thing here.
So you're saying they keep track of everybody. So if somebody screws up, then they got ways of disciplining them?
Yeah. They can shun. They can hold them against, they can use it against them for different things. They're, you know, I've met a lot of ex-Jehovah's Witness members, and the things that they do to convince you to stay, especially after you get baptized, because when you become baptized, that means you are officially a member. But if you don't get baptized as a young kid, like a young adult, then you're not as on the same strict rules. It's kind of like how the Amish go. So
the secret is not to get baptized.
Yeah, basically.
Just go to church and put it in a collection
and
basket.
Then get out, you know?
Yeah. See, there's ins and outs to everything.
The worst thing you can do is tell them that you're an ex-Jehovah's Witness, because they'll hound you worse. Some would say that they leave you alone, but I disagree with that. They'll mark you down. So don't ever lie to them saying you're an ex-Jehovah's Witness. Just start speaking about, you know, I like blood transfusions. I like my cigarettes.
They're not allowed to have blood transfusions?
No blood transfusions. Yeah.
Ooh. Well, not that I've ever had any, but maybe that's not.
Well, have
a big
you ever
deal.
Had blood taken out?
Oh, sure.
That's
a transfusion.
They're against that.
It's going out instead of in. Yeah.
They also don't believe in like saying the Pledge of Allegiance. They don't believe in celebrating birthdays. They don't believe in celebrating holidays.
How about Halloween?
No Halloween. Yeah.
Oh no. Oh jeez.
You want to go into that?
There goes the candy right out the window. Jeez.
We got a source on that.
What the heck?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you say you got some more information there?
Yeah, we gathered some earlier, yeah.
I got a bug flying around me. I must smell good.
Must be a Jehovah's Witness.
Yeah. This is crazy. Okay, well, whenever you're ready, let's enlighten me.
Did you know Jehovah's Witnesses don't celebrate Halloween? I think that's kind of funny. I guess they don't like random people knocking on their door. Today, we're going to be examining some of the core beliefs of the JW faith and examining where it deviates from traditional Christianity and why it's problematic. Now, you may have spent some time with them when they knocked on your door one Saturday morning. Now, this is not to confuse them with Mormons who also door knock, but are usually wearing name tag badges that say Elder such and such or Sister so and so on. This is important as it allows you to understand the difference between what Orthodox Christianity teaches and what other religions teach. The goal of this, like, isn't simply just to dunk on or be jerks to people of other faiths. However, it is to show that there are some major irreconcilable differences between our faiths. So let's go ahead and get started. All of the following information is from the JW website itself, jw.org, and I wanted to make sure that we weren't paraphrasing or quoting misunderstandings. What I'm about to read is official JW doctrine. In between each reading, I'll provide a bit of commentary as I understand it. So the first statement that's coming from the JW website reads like this. God, we worship the one true and almighty God, the creator whose name is Jehovah, quoting Psalm 83 in Revelation 4 there. He is the God of Abraham, Moses, and Jesus, pointing to Exodus 3, 32, John 20. Now, there's nothing out of line here. They're setting up this portrait of a God who is going to be contrasted mightily in the person of Jesus, but there is nothing problematic about this statement on its own. However, we will see that their understanding of God is both incomplete and incorrect. So let's move on to point number two. Here they're talking about the Bible. We recognize the Bible as God's inspired message to us humans. John 17, 2 Timothy 3. We base our belief on all 66 of its books, which include both the Old Testament and the New Testament. Professor Jason D. Beedon aptly described it when he wrote that Jehovah's Witnesses built, quote, their system of belief and practice from the raw material of the Bible without predetermining what was to be found there, unquote. While we accept the entire Bible, we are not fundamentalists. We recognize that parts of the Bible are written in figurative or symbolic language and are not meant to be understood literally, quoting Revelation 1:1 there. Now, my commentary on this is that there are a couple problematic things with this statement. The idea that Professor Jason makes regarding the JW system of belief is simply not true, largely because that's not a possible position you can take. When we read scripture, we are reading an interpretation of events. Remember, we are already one person removed from the historical account. Now, this isn't inherently a bad thing. I did a whole other video on the trustworthiness of the Bible that you can watch right here. However, that is to say, the assumed understanding they provide in their response is the groundwork for a specific type of fundamentalism. Maybe not that of like the Bible can only ever be read literally, but more like our interpretation is the only correct one and all other people are wrong. And we'll see why this becomes quite problematic in just a few moments. The other major issue here is that the governing body producing the New World Translation produces it without any real Greek or Hebrew scholars, and all reputable scholars recognize this translation as highly suspect. This sets another important foundational piece when they will lose all credibility when they start giving their specific type of fundamental interpretation. So let's continue on here. Point number three, they're talking about Jesus. We follow the teachings and example of Jesus Christ and honor him as our Savior and as the Son of God. They quote Matthew 20 and Acts 5 there. Thus, we are Christians, and that's Acts 11. However, we have learned from the Bible that Jesus is not Almighty God and that there is no scriptural basis for the Trinitarian doctrine, and they say John 14 there. Okay, so here's my response to that point. This might sound a little bit harsh, but it's important to create a clear categorical distinction. If you are going to say that Jesus is anything other than the second co-eternal, meaning not created, not less than, co-equal person with God of the Trinitarian Godhead, then you actually cannot be part of what's understood as traditional Orthodox Christianity. You cannot claim the mantle of Christianity and then reject two of the core most pillars of its belief system. If you just want to call yourself a JW, that's fine. However, I have a hard time understanding why a group of people who clearly outright reject the divinity of Jesus and the Trinity would want to call themselves Christians. This just sets up this weird, confusing dichotomy where they see themselves as true Christian followers while all of the rest of us are false Christians. So that's my first problem. My second problem is this, the misuse of their misinterpretation of John 14:28. There's actually a decent interpretation that you can have here that doesn't assume some type of less than status of Jesus. My personal thought of this interpretation is that Jesus is actually referring to his current human nature in which he was living. We actually see in Philippians 2, Paul talks about this idea of Jesus being equal with God, but instead Jesus humbled himself, taking the personhood of a servant, and he was willing to be nailed to a tree for the sin of all humanity. See, Jesus is not saying that he himself is actually not God or less than God, but in his human form, he's assuming a humility where he can actually stand in between you and me and God and create a way for us to have fellowship with him. My third contention with this is that the Watchtower maintains that Jesus pre-existed as the angel Michael. However, the biblical record is clear that Jesus is just as much God as the Father is, and we see this in John 1:1, as well as many other places throughout Scripture. Jesus is not a created being. Likewise, his relationship with the Father and the Holy Spirit existed for all time. One can make the argument for a Trinitarian doctrine in the baptism formula that Jesus gives during the Great Commission in Matthew 28:19, which says that we are to baptize people in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Additionally, Jesus' resurrection was not an invisible spirit creature one, but one that was raised bodily. And we see this in 1 Corinthians 15 and other places in Scripture. JWs teach that the resurrection of Christ is purely spiritual. This conflicts with everything we see in the Gospels and the rest of the New Testament. Number four, the JWs maintain that the kingdom of God is a real government in heaven, not a condition in the hearts of Christians. They say that it will replace human governments and accomplish God's purposes here on earth. And to that, they look at Daniel 2 and Matthew 6. It will take these actions soon, for the biblical prophecy indicates that we are living in, quote, the last days. They see this in 2 Timothy 3, Matthew 24. Jesus is the king of God's kingdom in heaven, and that he began ruling in 1914. So the JWs actually contend that Jesus was actually going to come back and be here in 1914. Obviously, 1914 has come and gone, and it's important for us to recognize that JWs are the only faith that hold to this type of loose interpretation. And it's not until after everything was proved to be incorrect that people started saying that Jesus was actually ruling invisibly. So if we're going to say that eventually that God's kingdom is going to come and it's going to replace human governments, we have to ask the question, why are we still waiting for over 100 years since 1914, and what's taking God so long? Now, we know that there is literally zero evidence for this notion in scripture. They make claims that Jesus started ruling by some funky math from the book of Daniel and from Revelation, and there has been quite a lot of historical dancing around that date and reinterpreting when the events don't come to pass. It's another good reminder from Jesus' words. No one knows the day or the hour. Now, number 5, salvation. Deliverance from sin and death is possible through the ransom sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That's Matthew 20 and Acts 4. In order to benefit from that sacrifice, people must not only exercise faith in Jesus, but also change the course of their life and get baptized. A person's work proves that his faith is alive. However, salvation cannot be earned, they say. It comes through the undeserved kindness of God. They point to Galatians 2, 16 and 21 for that. Now, here are my thoughts on that. It is true that Jesus' death does make it possible for us to experience salvation from death. And yes, faith is required for us to be recipients of those great things. Now, I would argue that baptism isn't something that is required for salvation, but that's a topic for another day. It is something that we are to do out of obedience. Additionally, one of the things that JWs believe that I don't hear publicized often is the notion of only 144,000 people who get to make it to heaven. Now, you have to know that this is a stark number, right? Because there are over 9 million current Jehovah's Witnesses that exist today. So if only 144,000 get to make it to heaven, what does that say for the other 8 million plus that are going to be stuck in limbo or are going to have some problematic thing, let alone for the rest of us? Now, number 6, heaven is a spiritual realm. It's currently populated by Jehovah God, Jesus Christ, the faithful angels, and the 144,000 faithful Jehovah's Witnesses who will one day be spiritually resurrected to heaven to rule with Jesus. Yes, heaven is a spiritual place. However, Jesus rules in heaven as God. Again, there is a subtle shift in language here that we need to pay attention to. Yes, we'd agree that it is filled with angels. No, 144,000 faithful JWs are not going to be the only ones who are chosen to resurrect and rule with Jesus. This is a poor application from an amalgam of passages in Revelation. Scripture actually teaches that God's desire for the entire world is to be saved. Revelation 7:9 tells us that there was a great multiplicity of people that surround the throne, right? That it was like this innumerable amount of people. Not 144,000 people from one specific spot in history at time. Heck, there were 400,000 people at Woodstock. There is no limitation presented based on any random numerical assessment that JWs may base it on or anyone else. Now, there are a multiplicity of other issues that we could talk about. However, for the sake of this, we're going to limit our scope to here.
All right, this is the Real BS Show. Another exciting version this week. Jehovah Witness. I don't know. Do they sue people like Scientology does?
I don't think so.
Are we in threat of being sued?
I don't think so, because we have freedom of speech. So we're kind of just reporting what some people have observed, you know. So I think we're free to do that.
Yeah, it's these other people doing the talking. We don't know anything.
This is all educational, you know.
At least I don't know anything. Yeah. You might, but I don't.
Yeah, well, I've been around people that, it's not my words that I'm speaking. These are other people's words that told me. So I personally am the type, I don't think it's wise to go to people's houses and go knocking. That's just superficial. It's better to get to know somebody and see what their needs are and then help them. And that's how you should really, if you're going to go convert somebody to your belief, that's the best way of going about it. Because going to knock is kind of superficial. And that's my view. You know, I think that goes with anything. You go.
Sounds dangerous to me.
It does sound dangerous because, you know, especially when they're like, they're sending women around doing this. That's what around, at least around here, they're sending young women go knock on doors.
That's right. There is a church outside of town here, just on the edge there, on the eastern side.
They're overall, they're nice people. They're not like, you know, just, they have way different beliefs than most people. But I don't hold those beliefs against them. I don't think we should be like the Nazis and exterminate them. That's what the Nazis did. The Nazis did try to persecute and exterminate Jehovah's Witnesses in Germany. So, I mean, that's reality. That's, you know, I'm against that. But at the same time, don't come knocking on my door. I don't really want people soliciting, let's say.
Yeah. Isn't that against the law now?
No, I don't know about that.
No soliciting in this town?
Well, you can get a permit for it. That's what you have to have a permit, yeah.
Well, that way the government collects $10 for It's always there's always a reason for everything.
You know, this day and age, I think door-to-door salesman or anything is kind of like a weird thing, because with the internet, you can just go online and request help that way for something or order something online. The door-to-door salesman is kind of a dead job. I don't see it happen. I mean, when's the last time you had someone knock on your door?
Well, I've had some of those. I don't know if it was Mormons. I seen them coming, so I said, forget it, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure what they were, but they were church people of some sort.
If Mormons usually dress up in a tie, like they have a tie.
From what I remember, they were, I just remember ladies, and they were dressed up mainly white.
Yeah, that sounds like the Jehovah's Witness. Because Mormons typically wear a tie. They look in dress slacks. They're a little bit more professional looking, and they have a name tag, and they'll say that they're from the Church of Mormon, the Church of Latter-day Saints. But you know, we don't have too many people that are Mormons around here. There's one church in here, I think, and that's it. Whereas Jehovah's Witnesses, there's a little bit more. But we have to remember, there's only like 8 to 9 million of them. That's not that many, really, in the grand scheme of things. There's not that many Jehovah's Witnesses. But, you know, it's a decent number.
Think they're going up or going down?
It's hard to say. Actually, right now, probably the fastest growing church in the world is the Pentecostals. So
that's, what's that?
The Pentecostals are—they're probably one of the larger denominations. They're Protestants, basically. They're just more they get excited in church, kind of.
Holy rollers.
Yeah, that kind of. Yeah, but that's growing fast. But you know, there is issues. You know, you look at there is persecution against different groups, and the Jehovah's Witnesses did. You know, I'm trying to empathize with them a little bit, even though I might disagree with how they approach things, especially the keeping the record thing. That's kind of a weird thing.
They had some real big scandals in Australia.
Sex scandals.
They were covering up a lot of stuff in the government.
Right, right.
Was checking up on them or something. Yeah, and
that happened here in the United States. You know, we have to remember, you know, I'm not condoning what happened, but on the grand scheme of things, these things come out and people forget. They think it's just the covering up thing is wrong and that needs to be addressed. But this sex scandal stuff is everywhere. You look at right now, look at teachers. Teachers are going around having, no one is talking about that, but there's probably more sex scandals in schools than anywhere else right now. It's on average, the number of sex scandals in churches or Boy Scouts or whatever, they're on average with the general population. And usually sex scandals happen when they know the person. It's like 90% of all scandals like that are people that they know. But with the covering up part is the problem. It's just like with Penn State, with what's his name? Whatever that guy's name was, the coach, and they all covered it up. That's where we have a problem. That's what needs to be punished as well, as long as the abuse that happens. But the covering up is even in some ways worse, because you're shoving it under the rug. And
Joe Paterno died right after that whole thing.
Yeah.
Started going.
He had a career, right? Everyone worshiped that guy, and then
big time
turned around and just ruined his legacy over that.
Yeah, I remember the guy's name started with an S, I think.
Yeah, Sandusky.
Sandusky, maybe. Yeah,
that's it. But you know, the same thing with the Jehovah's Witnesses. You know, they're covering that up, and it's a huge scandal. You can go on their Wikipedia.
Well, the Catholic Church, I mean, big as they are, boy, what a mess that is. You know, and it probably still is.
Yeah. They move priests around to different parishes instead of removing them.
Right. They cover it up quite a bit. And
it's like, you know, you see this kind of stuff, and it's like, this is what happens when you have a centralized...
I don't think the Lutherans ever had any scandals.
They've had a few.
Oh, come on. That's the church I went to when I was little. They seem like a good bunch of folks to me.
Decent. They have recent scandals that were kind of like split the church. So, you know, there's two different types of Lutheran. There's conservative and there's more progressive.
Well, I haven't been there in a long time.
Right, I'm sure.
16, I think it was.
Right. But that, there's right now a division going in that church. But that's a whole different story there. But this is something.
Well, you got to argue about something. What's life without fighting?
Sure, but their division's over about transgender and stuff like that. And It's a little bit more complicated.
Our whole country's up in arms about that.
Yeah.
Well, what a joke. Yeah. What a joke.
It's.
I get folks out there and get them splitting some wood. They wouldn't be having all this time to argue about.
No. Well, you know, I think this is, you know, I'm not saying people aren't suffering in this country, but relatively, compared to the world, most Americans aren't truly suffering. I think that's part of the problem.
Got too much time on their hands.
Well, yeah. That, you know, I'm not saying we need to suffer more, but I'm glad we live in a country that's quite peaceful, and we're quite rich. We're, you know, oh, everyone says, oh, look at Sweden or look at this. Like, yeah, they have oil and they're hot. Their ethnic groups are pretty much all the same one people. They have a few minorities, not that many. They don't have that many problems. And they have a small population. And yet, here's the United States. We're the third most populated nation in the world. We have more diversity than any other country in the world. And yet, we're extremely wealthy. And you look at, you know, we've talked about this before, I'm sure, but we are so wealthy that we don't even know what to do with the money. And then we're turning around and having small things that people
are
fighting.
Well, we're in debt more than anybody else.
That's true.
Well, that's why we got so much money.
Yeah, we keep on spending.
Keep printing new stuff here.
Keep on printing and spending money that we don't have. But really, the arguments that people have are so minor that on the grand scheme of things, don't matter. They don't matter.
Well, from what I'm told from people I know that travel around a lot, they say almost every other country you go to, you got to boil the water.
Yeah, well, that's a scary
thing. We don't have to do that here.
It's a scary thing, you know. But you look at the struggle that some of these countries are facing and realize, you know, I can't mention the person's name, but this topic of suicide came up. And they was like, well, why would they do that? They were from a third world country and they couldn't fathom why someone would kill themselves, you know. And I didn't have the right answers for that because, you know, it's like, oh, I don't want to sit there and say, well, they had depression, they had, you know, bipolar or whatever. But the person that asked it, they were from a third world country. He goes, why would they do that? They just could not fathom why. So imagine this. They came from a hellhole of a country. And I'm using that because that's the truth. Their country's in a civil war. There's mass problems going on in that country.
Sounds like Africa.
And then they come here and hear that someone committed suicide and just cannot wrap their head why they do that. Yeah. They went through hell. I mean, sure, there's people's individual hell here they could have, but compared to what they just came from, they think that person had a great life here. And so it's true. I mean, that's why, to me, this is why, you know, I don't talk about that stuff too much because it hit home, you know, because yeah. Someone was a family member. And, you know, my brother, he ended his life. And I didn't have the answers to that person's question. Why would he do that? You know, this is a beautiful land. There's so much plentiful. There's, you know, and my brother was not suffering in that department. He had a nice home. He had two cars, you know, four daughters, you know, and really not much going bad, really. But mentally, he had PTSD and he was bipolar. And there was a lot of issues there internally. And I look at these, you know, we go back to the Jehovah's Witness. They are so repressive. There's a suicide problem going on in their religion. Mm. And so they're so restrictive. They're so oppressive. And
so
then
the only way out is to kill yourself.
That or leave and not talk to your family. And your family, think about it, your family to them is most people, your family is core, essential. That's like your core of your life is your family. And I think that's around the world. You look at around the world, you look in China where the family is a very vital, important part of society. You look at Japan, same thing. India, same thing. You know, Africa, same thing. South America, Americas, UK, Europe, family is very essential. And then when you rip that away, you can't, like what the Jehovah's Witnesses do, they shun you and excommunicate you and disfellowship you, whatever they want to call it. You lose your family, you lose part of your life. And otherwise you're stuck in it, and then it's a problem. It is truly a problem.
Well, I think you answered my question. You got some more information on Jehovah?
We could pull a few things up, yeah.
Well, why don't we do that just to make sure that I'm making the right decision to not investigate anymore? It doesn't sound like my kind of club.
Right.
Most people know them for not celebrating holidays. So they don't celebrate Christmas. They don't celebrate birthdays.
And they think that any moment now, God is going to destroy the world. Not the physical world, but human culture, basically. And murder most of the people, about 99% of them.
When I got baptized when I was 16, I got out of the water. My father came up to me, he gives me a big hug, and he says, "Now you're not just my son, you're my brother."
At 17, I basically thought to myself, what am I doing? Is this how I want to live my life? Like, do I even believe this? Because it's like, well, if I'm going to live my life by this, I need to know that I believe this. Because I'm not going to do it if I don't. Because I can't. I'll kill myself.
It's hard for us to think rationally about the good things we got out of being witnesses. If they just treated people all right and had some kooky beliefs, I could totally live with it. Friends who committed suicide because they're gay and they're a witness.
At the age of 16, your son became a regular pioneer, and at the age of 17, he became a ministerial servant.
I really appreciate being able to be taught by Jehovah through such a faithful family, because their fine example makes it easier for me to serve Jehovah, and also gives me a greater incentive to set meaningful spiritual goals for myself. So I'm really proud to belong to such a spiritual family.
Thank you for being taught by Jehovah.
What I found was that the more I pulled on the threads with the Watchtower stuff, the more it unraveled, and the more I pulled on the threads of the science stuff, the more it got solid. And then I was screwed.
I was so scared because it was like I was going to lose my family, I was going to lose my whole identity if I came to the conclusion that this wasn't for me.
Leaving that gives you this incredible thing that's simultaneously the most exciting thing in the world and the most terrifying thing in the world, which is absolute possibility. Like, you're no longer yoked into this limited worldview. Everything is possible, which means lots of bad stuff can happen that you never anticipated, but it also means that you can now do anything you want. You're free.
Who are Jehovah's Witnesses?
They're a religion that I feel is got some cult-like properties to it that I was raised in from birth, and a religion that I left in my 30s.
Sounds excitingly on a book, okay. Right when we walked in, there was a ton of books on the shelf. Am I just standing somewhere?
Yeah, looking pretty next to these lilacs.
Oh, this is so beautiful. Is the baseball cap okay, or is it kind of douchebaggy?
I think you look good. Maybe you should straighten it. I think I can help.
Oh, is it crooked? I don't want to be one of those guys. Hello, hello. I'm giving you guys a sound level right now. Am I supposed to look directly? What is a Jehovah's Witness? It's someone who is a member of the religion Jehovah's Witnesses. They eat, sleep, live, and breathe it. They believe it's the one and only true religion. And they have to, by default, agree with absolutely everything that their governing organization, the Watchtower Society, teaches. At least outwardly, they do.
Short answer, I guess, would be a cult, but they're descended from an apocalyptic religion that was created back in the 1800s. They basically turned into the Church of Seventh-day Adventists and the Church of Jehovah's Witnesses.
Since I was a child, I was encouraged to not have friends outside of the religion. They were called worldly people, and they were to not be associated with too closely because bad associations spoil useful habits. And, man, some of the other cult-like properties of it. That's one of the huge things, is that they really segregate themselves, even though we still are out in the world, or they are still out in the world, we were. They really segregate themselves and have an actual term for people on the outside.
What do they call them?
Worldly people.
Quoted the verse, you paraphrased the verse.
1 Corinthians, yeah.
Could
I
you?
Can't remember what it is now, sorry.
Oh.
Yeah.
I mean, bad associations.
1533, I think it was. Yeah, bad associations spoil useful habits.
What do you feel about that now?
I feel like you're... I feel like you need to be strong enough as a person with your beliefs that you can know any type of person and you're going to go back to that. It sounds like a very weak-willed person to be that diverted by someone just because they have different views than you do.
I left the religion because under a critical eye, if you're capable of being honest with yourself, then eventually you realize that it just doesn't stand up to a rational worldview.
So I left the Jehovah's Witnesses because I realized that staying in was doing more harm than good, both for me and my family, my immediate family, which at the time consisted of my wife and my one-year-old son. I stayed a witness even after I no longer really believed it and had all sorts of disagreements with many of their teachings, which I largely kept to myself, shared a little bit with my wife and a couple of my friends. But when my wife finally approached me with the cognitive dissonance we'd been maintaining through the years, I realized after some soul searching for about 48 hours that it behooved me to leave in order to live a happier, more fulfilling, and less hypocritical life, especially since I was now in charge of bringing up a child along with my wife.
Why did you leave the religion?
Multiple reasons. I definitely didn't believe in many of the doctrines anymore. And a huge thing in my heart was that when I was nine, my grandma disassociated herself and we couldn't see her anymore. And when I was 14, I was in a car accident where my mom died, her oldest daughter. I longed for more family after that in general, but as I got older, I really wanted to know my grandma. And it felt so wrong that I couldn't talk to her and couldn't know her. And that was one of the biggest joys of both of our lives, is reuniting in my 30s and getting to know her again before she passed this last year. There's many reasons. I mean, I was disfellowshipped 2 times, and by the second time, I didn't believe that this was a just way to handle people having issues of any sort. And I felt compelled I can't think of any words right now. I felt compelled to tell the things that I did. So I was one of those people. And I probably could have gotten away with some of the things, but I felt compelled to confess. And by the second time, I just, all these things were adding up, and I just couldn't live the lifestyle anymore. And that was one of the things, too, is it felt so unjust to banish someone like they do, where you're not allowed to speak to anyone, and they have, you know, you got to go to the 3 meetings at the time every, you know, for like about a year, they say at least a year, and not have anyone talk to you and earn your way back in. It just didn't seem right to me anymore, which things not seeming right after being raised in that type of situation, it's just, it feels so wrong for it not to feel right. And even after I left the religion, I there was so much guilt and heaviness. And I just remember even going to another church, I felt guilty to enter the threshold of another church because that was evil. Any other church was evil. But yeah, I'm digressing.
The amount of conflict that it causes between families and friends, and just the, as a whole, throughout the course of all of human history, the amount of conflict that religion has caused in general made me take a much closer look at, you know, what I thought was really important about life.
How did you feel about other religions as a witness, and how do you feel about them now?
I definitely felt that all other religions were misguided and on the wrong path, and maybe they had good intentions, but they were spreading they were miseducating people, and it was, you know. Now how I feel about it is I'm just so much more open-minded than I ever was, that I ever imagined to be. And I love to learn and know different viewpoints. And I think that I'm really not actually for organized religion very much anymore, but I think whatever people are doing good and trying to help other people and, you know, spreading any kind of, or in just helping people, I guess. I appreciate that avenue of it, but I don't really believe in organized religion. Though I still do believe in God. That's something that I've noticed a lot of people that have left religion don't believe in God anymore. that's something a little bit different about me, is that I still pray with my children, but I don't pray in the same way. And I still believe in a higher power.
What are you doing now with your life?
Enjoying it, because it's the only one I've got. I'm not waiting to die. I don't believe that I'm going to heaven. I'm not afraid of hell. I'd rather just enjoy the life that I have for what it is than wait on some great eternal reward.
I made a list of things that I wanted to do with my life, or things that I just wanted to try. Some were very minor things, like I wanted to read an entire series of a certain kind of book, and others were more major, like I wanted to get a 4-year degree, which I was finally able to do after leaving the Witnesses. My time is mostly occupied with caring for my children and working and taking care of a house and a yard, you know, so aside from not being a witness, a lot of the things I do are similar to what witnesses do, right? Just making the money you need to survive and taking care of the people that you love, you know? But it's nice doing it without being a witness, that's for sure.
Could you put a name to that belief that you have now?
Yeah, I feel like there is some kind of a creator to our universe, especially having children really made that stay with me, maybe, seeing their existence and then the design of the earth. I just still feel that there's a creation and a purpose. I still feel that, but I don't feel like one person necessarily knows what that is.
How do you feel about this deity compared to how you felt about Jehovah?
I feel like that probably similar, but in some ways, because, or at least what I was taught, but that's not what the Jehovah's Witness religion, not what they, he was more of a judging God, and I don't feel like this deity, like you say, is judging. He's more the one that's not judging, and I'm one of his children, or his or her, actually. I don't feel like there's necessarily a sex, or it's just, you know. And I'm still searching, too. That's the thing, too, is I'm lost. I feel kind of lost, even though I don't feel that I ever could ever be part of that religion again. I feel a loss, kind of, you know, from being in that until my 30s and now leaving it, or living outside of it now.
What was the greatest loss from leaving?
Family, definitely.
What happened to your family?
They just stopped. Once they realized that I was practicing things that were, or doctrines that they didn't believe in, then they couldn't associate with me anymore. Celebrating birthdays, Christmas, those, you know, which, yeah, it's just amazing how important those type of things are to them.
Yeah, I'm definitely happier with my life now. It's taken a long time to get into a good spot. You know, the thing about having been a witness is that witnesses will ask ex-witnesses if they feel like they're happier now because they consider themselves to be the happiest people on earth. And to me, that's not even really relevant, because it's almost like saying, are you happier sober or drunk? I mean, clearly you're not thinking straight when you're drunk, regardless of whether or not you're happier. Or are you happier once you found out you had cancer or not? I mean, the truth is you found out you have cancer, so let's just be honest. So it was happy and gratifying to think that I would live forever in a paradise earth where there would be no diseases or sickness or crime or economic difficulties for people. That was a nice thing, you know. So I'm happier thinking about that future than the future that I think the earth might actually have. But ultimately, I'm happier living with honesty and with truth and with seeing the world as it is and with looking at my neighbors and coworkers and stuff and realizing these are people that are valuable too, and that I could be friends with, and that I don't have to judge them based solely on their theological underpinnings.
Am I happier now? Vastly. Without a doubt. I didn't know it was possible to achieve this level of contentedness when I was a witness. I'm a carpenter, and it's one of the most fulfilling lines of work I could imagine. And I have good hobbies, I have good friends, and I think the duration of most of my personal relationships throughout the course of my life really speaks for itself. I've known most of my friends for at least a decade, and a lot of them are ex-Jehovah's Witnesses. The kind of bond that I have with Witnesses, it's really difficult to explain, because it's something that goes so deep that, you know, having had the gall to walk away from a religion that indoctrinates you so thoroughly tells me a lot about the quality of the people that I know that are ex-Jehovah's Witnesses.
What do you do now with your life?
It took me a while because I was lost, and I still feel a sense of loss, but I've grown so much. I'm happier than I've ever been in my life. I'm so proud and happy that my children have a different life than I do. My oldest daughter I raised until 9 in the religion, and she celebrated her first birthday at 9. And she's just thankful every day that I didn't raise her in that religion. And she just actually just got her bachelor's degree in psychology from Augsburg recently. So I'm just really proud of her. And she's really the first person in the family that graduated from college. So she's just an amazing kid. And I'm just so proud of all my kids. And I'm just so hopeful that all the options and hope that they have in their future. So that's one of my greatest joys. And I'm just enjoying my life now, and I feel free. And I'm just enjoying being able to do what I want to do, and, you know, sharing love with all people and not judging people. I enjoy not being a judging person too, like I used to be, because it was just the mindset with the religion, you know. So
if there's any advice you could give to Jehovah's Witnesses or ex-Jehovah's Witnesses, what would it be?
To ex-Jehovah's Witnesses?
Let's start with Jehovah's
Okay.
Witnesses.
I think a lot what holds people in, man, I guess I'm thinking of like my best friend that is still a Jehovah's Witness, that it's not worth it, I guess. It seems like you couldn't live without your family, and, you know, you can find a new family and new friends that love you for who you are. And so people that, I guess, are on the edge, I can say that too, because I feel like she's not completely in wholeheartedly anymore, but is just holding on for that. So for people like that, I don't know what I would say to the ones that still believe. I'm at a loss for that. I'm so much happier not being in the religion anymore, and I would want that for them. And people on the outside, I don't know, let's get together and hang out and talk about our lives, because it's really interesting. I'm really enjoying this.
That's great.
Seems like a natural end to me.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah. Anything else you want to say? No, I wanted to get my daughter in there and my grandma. So something I was really proud of, and then something that was so precious to me that I got back. So, yeah. Sorry for the fumbling.
Oh, yeah.
Editing, that's good.
Sorry for the fumbling.
Yeah.
That's, forget it. This Jehovah's Witness thing's nutty. I'm not even interested in it. Not even in the least.
You know, to be as unbiased as possible, it's wise to kind of like seek around. Listening to former members of certain groups, you can kind of get a picture.
I guess. Holy cow.
It's a sad reality, you know?
How do they get so big, and how do they get so rich? They got a big joint up there in New York City.
The Watchtower, yeah.
What the heck?
I would say they're not that big, and what's their growth is mostly in people donating money to build these churches.
All join in and help too. Yeah. I mean, as far as doing actual labor and stuff.
Yeah. It's the reality is they put a lot of money into it, and they believe that a certain way.
They must have good cookies or something, or coffee and cookies, or
maybe
nice picnics or something. Something's got to attract people to this. Whew. So, okay, that's out. Maybe next week we'll look at somebody else. or try a couple. Maybe we can try a couple of Mormons and
name
some of them. Christian scientists.
Mormons,
Seventh-day Adventists.
Yeah, Seventh-day Adventists. They are different. There's a lot of different groups that we can cover. We can even go non-Christian. There's a lot of cults out there, that are non-Christian.
Well, I don't care about that.
Well, they're in the United States. That's why I bring it up. There are some ones that, even the Chinese government went after the Falun Gong. I can't pronounce it right, but
I could join the Democrats or Republicans or something. It's just as bad.
They're a cult too, yeah.
Yeah, right.
You know, the largest gang in the United States.
Of course, you don't have a choice. You got to donate to them.
Yeah.
You don't get a choice. Yeah, they got the IRS working for them.
Yeah, don't mention them.
Ooh.
We don't mention that three-letter word here.
Whoa.
Or the FCC. Oh, we're not under the FCC on the podcast.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, we're kind of free.
Huh.
We have freedom of speech on here.
Wow. That's,
on the radio, we have to be careful what we say.
Yeah, on the radio. Yeah, that's...
You can't
public,
say that.
I don't know what it's
licensed through the FCC. Whereas
non-profit thing.
Yeah. Well, not just a non-profit. Even for-profit radio stations, they're under the licensing, so they can't say certain things because the FCC doesn't approve. And under the podcast, we can say whatever we want. We're free, so we kind of less restrictions there, I guess.
Yeah. Well, nobody cares anyways.
Yeah. Well,
it just comes and goes.
And I don't think we're trying to cause any people anger at all. We're not just, we're not trying to poke the bear.
If they don't like what we're saying, just shut us off.
Exactly. That's what you can do with anything. If you don't like what someone's doing, I heard somebody complaining about Amazon. They're like, oh, Amazon has bad work practices and they mistreat their employees. And then they're like, don't buy from them then.
Yeah.
Vote
with your money.
You vote with your money. And they, some reason, no. It's like, honestly, I think the worker issues at Amazon are overblown what they're trying to make them out to be. Those employees are making like $25 an hour. If you don't like the job, then quit. Find another job.
I was looking around and driving around, and I was noticing a bunch of buildings that aren't, they're abandoned.
Yeah.
Let's say, and you start thinking about this as like Sears, Kmart.
Right.
There's some other ones. We had to do a show on all the different kind of big time places that are gone.
Yeah. Easily. You could go to the story. Like, I'm still so shocked by Sears. They had a catalog that you could order houses from. They had the catalog for everything. You could order anything on the Sears catalog, right?
I loved it when I was a kid. And
right.
Just,
you just like the bra section, though. But
I was into this HO race cars.
Yeah.
Aurora, I think, was the name of them. And the choo-choo trains, Lionel and even a Mark's.
Yeah, my grandfather and my grandmother worked at Mark's. My great uncle was a train engine. He engineered the models for the trains. Yeah. So I have a lot of family history in that.
Sears was a big deal. We went to Erie, and we always went to the Sears building on 10th Street there.
Right.
And it was just amazing to go in there and see everything.
It's just sad that they didn't jump on what they had. They had the potential to be Amazon. They could. They had the distribution. They had the warehousing. They had the magazine. All they had to do is convert it over to the internet and have online ordering, and they would have owned the world. You wouldn't be hearing about Amazon. Amazon went to a bunch of companies, and they rejected them. And Amazon said, they started out as a book website, and that's it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just shocking to me that they didn't jump on it. All these companies, you look at them.
Well, that's because they kept selling they kept getting bought out or taken over or whatever.
But we could do that for an episode after we do all this religious cult stuff.
Well, we've got to find the right church first.
Right. But,
how am I going to go to heaven if I ain't even got a church?
But that could be an episode down the road, because talking about businesses that failed and why they failed is, yes, it's hindsight 2020. We have better vision, but we could dive into it. What makes a business successful and what makes it fail? And
we got a lot to look at there there's a, and the same way with, I don't care whether it's lawnmowers or, you would be shocked to see all the different companies that
are foreign,
you know, Toro owns, what, Gravely? And,
yeah, yeah.
I mean, all these different, and they're all made in China. Well, not all of them.
But there's Vietnam, yeah, they're made in four, like India, you know, Pakistan, they're made in Indonesia. Yeah, it's crazy how many companies are manufacturing overseas. I think
there's a company called Bad Boy, mm-hmm. and I haven't seen one yet. But mm-hmm. I saw one someplace, but I can't remember where it was. Right. But they're made in Arkansas, and I was looking at the decks and stuff. You know, this is online.
Right.
And, man, they look like they're solid.
Ooh, yeah.
They look really solid.
Could chop a leg off.
Well, I mean, the decks, they're not stamped out pieces. They're actual quarter-inch steel, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, heavy-duty. Yeah. I said, what the heck? Right. I don't know. Maybe they're expensive. I don't know. Yeah. Probably, if they're made in America.
I have an experience. I had a lawnmower that was not made in China. It was actually made in, I think, I don't know, Indonesia or something like that. And the piston arm blew out the side of the wall of the engine and almost hit me in the leg. And
well, I mean, what engine was it? I mean,
this little push mower, lawnmower, small, it was like small.
Was it made by the company that owned the mower that made the mower?
Yeah, oh. I think so. I don't remember exactly where.
Because now engines are made by engine companies.
Right, you know, yeah, exactly.
Kawasaki and Kohler.
But what the thing is, you know, I just checked the oil beforehand. It was all fresh oil. So it was springtime, I changed the oil, right? And I always check the oil before I start mowing. And my father even questioned me on it. You weren't checking the oil. That's what he said to me. I'm like, I'm 40 years old. I'm checking the oil. You know, I'm responsible. But this is, you know, a few years ago this happened. And he later realized after inspecting the engine, after he pulled everything out, and he goes, oh, yeah, you were right. You were checking the oil. There's fresh oil right here on this. And I was like, he goes, it just failed on the connector. And I was like, holy crap, that went through testing, you know? That went through someone testing it, and I don't even know if they even tested it, you know? But, yeah, we'll play some music now and just...
let's just lighten things up with music and just scratch Jehovah's Witness off the list there.
Yeah.
That's a goner.
You've witnessed the truth. There you go.
Perhaps it is the color of the sun caught flat and covering the crossroads I'm standing at. Or maybe it's the weather or something like that. But mama, you've been on my mind. I mean no trouble, please don't put me down. Don't get upset, I am not pleading. Oh, saying I can't forget you. I do not pace the floor, bow down and bend, but yet. Well, mama, you've been on my mind. Even though my eyes are hazy and my thoughts, they might be narrow. Where you been? Don't bother me. Or bring me down with sorrow. I don't even mind who you'll be waking with tomorrow. But mama, you're just on my mind. I am not asking you to say words like yes or no, please understand me. I have no place I'm calling you to go. I'm just whispering to myself so I can't pretend that I don't know. Mama, you're just on my mind. Thank you. When you wake up in the morning, baby, look inside your mirror. You know I won't be next to you, you know I won't be near. I'd just be curious to know if you can see yourself as clear as someone who has had you on his mind.
Were you able to follow that?
No.
Don't wanna leave so